remember that very vividly after he told me about it. If you live as long as I have, you'll understand that someday. Mercy, it's good to be here. I'm surprised at the crowd. I'm glad to see that. And it is good. I know we were running long on time, but I love to tell a joke once in a while. You heard about the little country church that their pastor was going to be called gone Sunday, so they called up to the seminary. And they told the seminary, now you send us a country boy. We're country folk. We're farmers. So being bright like seminarians are, well, they sent him an urban city boy. And he got down there Sunday morning, and he got up in the pulpit to preach, and this old man come in the back door, his bib overalls, his chaw in his mouth, and coonhound by his side, and walked up to the front bench and sat down on the front bench, and the old coonhound crawled up there and laid down beside him. Everybody in the church looked at him, and he started to preach, and he got mad. He backed off, and he thought about it, and he started to preach, and he got angry again. Well, the third time he just couldn't take it. He tacked the old coonhound by the collar and the tail and took him back to the back door and just flung him out the door and slammed the door and went back to the pulpit, and everybody watched him. They knew it wasn't over yet. Something was going to happen. Nothing happened. He preached his sermon, got on. Old kid got to the back door to meet him and greet him, and the old man said, I want to thank you for throwing that old dog out. He said, you do? He said, yes, sir. Said, I sure do. He said, well, why is that? He said, I wouldn't have had him heard that sermon for nothing. I can just see that. I don't know whether you can or not. Anyway, I want to speak to you this morning. I want to say first, you're awful friendly. Wilma and I have been around to a lot of churches, and churches are like people. They all have personalities and different personalities, and you all are a friendly, honorary bunch, and I appreciate you all. I won't explain that any further, so don't ask me to. But it's good to be here. Some of you I've known for years, and you've come and spoke to me. It's good to speak to you. And one thing we preachers, I think we always wonder, where'd they go? What happened? What's going on? So it's good to hear. It's good to see, and it's good to hear. Turn to Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 to 11. We'll read the text, and then we'll go back through it. Remembering one thing, the Christian life is not a life of fun and games. Christian life is a very serious, very sometimes hard-fought thing as we go along in life. So we need to remember that. From Jesus' temptation, we learn that following our Lord can bring tense, dangerous, and intense spiritual battles. We won't always feel good. We'll experience times of deprivation, loneliness, hostility. Jesus' temptation shows that our spiritual victories may not always be visible to the watching world. So we need to remember all that thing. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after he'd fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he then became hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Then the devil took him into the holy city, and he had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple, said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will give his angels charge concerning you. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, on the other hand, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory, and said to him, "All these things will I give you if you fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came. I don't know what you believe about angels, but preparing this, that kind of stuck out in my mind. And you need to read a few things about angels if you've got something to read about. Angels are all around us all the time. And there are angels that protect us and lots of other things. But you need to remember that. And if I can enhance you to enhance this and study it and make it better than I am, great for you. Go for it, all right? Matthew 4, verse 1 says that then, after everything that had happened in the first three chapters, then Jesus was led into the wilderness to be tempted. But he was driven, if you will, the Son of God was driven by the Father God into the wilderness to be tested. And we have to remember that the same Holy Spirit that sent Jesus to be baptized, then sent Jesus into the wilderness, then allowed Jesus to be tempted in what he was doing. In the Old Testament, the wilderness or desert was a desolate and dangerous place. And in the New Testament, devil means the same thing. So devil in the Greek means accuser. In Hebrew, the word Satan means the same. The devil tempted Eve in the Garden of Eden. And here he tempted Jesus in the wilderness. Satan is a fallen angel. He is a real created being. I hope you hear that. I hope you understand that. He is not symbolic, as so many teach today. I believe in a personal, real, alive, literal devil that is here to do everything that he can to destroy our witness, our testimony, our life, and all that goes on around us. He lives. You know, I can't imagine. I've known some mean people, but I can't imagine anybody being so mean that the only reason they live is to short-circuit a man's life and destroy him and his family. How can you get some kind of, you know, weird charge out of doing something like that? So we need to go on. The devil's temptations focused on three crucial areas: physical needs and desires, possessions and power, and pride. Do you have any pride? I remember driving from Denver to Colorado Springs one day. The guy that coaches at the football academy and Air Force Academy, he was on the radio. He's quite a speaker. And he told about dating this young lady, and one day he picked her up and walked out to the car with her, started to get in the car, and this old gal sat up on the porch rocking, and she stopped, and she looked down at him, and she said, "Now, sonny," she said, "remember who you are." And that has always stuck in my mind ever since. We need to think sometimes who we are and what we are and where we're going and why we're doing it and how it's going to affect. But Jesus faced temptation. Strong temptation. The word there in the Greek means that he was continually tempted for 40 days. Continually tempted. Can you imagine the devil sitting down in your lap and doing everything he can to get you off in 40 days and 40 nights? Just continually pick, pick, pick. And that's what he does. This time of testing showed that Jesus really was the Son of God, that he was able to overcome the devil and his temptations. A person has not shown true obedience until he's been tempted and overcame the temptation and walked with the Lord. You need to remember that. The testing will come. You should be alert. You should be ready for it. But your convictions are only real if they hold up under pressure. You ever been under pressure? I could ask a question. I better not. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. I can't imagine being fasting 40 days and 40 nights. I kind of like to eat. We've already settled where we're going for lunch. That's how much we like to eat. You know, we're retired, and if you plan a little, you can eat almost as cheap in the restaurant as you can by buying it and taking it home. So only thing is, she's a better cook than the restaurant. But he fasted. You know, I read this. We read. We tend to read something and just glaze over it. We shouldn't do that. We ought to think on it and meditate upon it and pray about it and do those things. He was famished. It means that he was wasted. He was hungry. He was hurting. He wanted some physical nourishment, and he wanted some spiritual help. Something was happening in all of this. So we need to remember that. They occurred when Jesus was at his most physically weakened state of being. When we're facing decisions, when we're depressed, or faced with uncertainty, somebody asks me occasionally, "Are you depressed?" I think the next time she does, I'm going to jump up on her desk and look her right in the eye and, "No, I'm not depressed." I'm sorry, little lady, I didn't mean to. But that's what I'd like to do sometimes. But when we start the day with prayer, with our attitudes, and there are things we can listen to, and that will help us get through those things. The tempter came and said to him, if you are the Son of God. Well, Satan knew that he was the Son of God, and Jesus knew that it was Satan, and that he was the Son of God, not Satan, but Jesus was. They both knew who each other was 100% all the time. But it's a word game. It's playing, trying to get Jesus to claim some of his messianic heavenly powers now instead of doing it in a framework and within the time of Jesus' life and giving. If you are the Son of God, so he wanted to use his position to meet his own needs. That's the devil did, rather than to fulfill God's given mission. Now, in later miracles, Jesus fed the multitudes. Jesus made the fish, but he done several times. But it gives the answer to this temptation. One does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. So Jesus saw through Satan's scheme. Jesus did not attempt to get into a discussion with Satan as Eve had done. Instead, he answered with words from what is written in Scripture, quoting Deuteronomy 8:3. It says, but by every word the children of Israel were taken into the desert, were taken into the wilderness. They were led around for 40 years. They couldn't live by bread alone. So in all three quotes from Deuteronomy, Jesus conveyed to Satan that while the test may have caused Israel to fall, it would not work with Jesus. Matthew showed the spiritual superiority of Christ over the nation. So he humbled himself. He humbled himself in the wilderness voluntarily. No matter what his physical body said, no matter what Satan said, he was going to walk with the Father like the Father wanted him to. And it's a lesson that we should apply to our hearts and to our lives. He had to be completely humbled, totally self-abased. Making himself bread would have shown that Jesus had not quite set aside his powers. He was not totally dependent on God. Excuse me. Thank you. Isn't water good? normal desires. We're talking about the desires of what the devil could do and what he could do. Jesus was hungry and weak and weakened after 40 days of being tempted. Devil tries to get us to do a lot today. Turn on the TV, you see an advertisement, and you know it's always got about a 9/10 naked woman somewhere on it. Or this big husky man that's, you know, about 9. What does that make any difference about what there is? I don't understand it. Yell at Velma when it comes on. Why do you allow that? If we indulge in sex before marriage, if we steal to get food, we do lots of things trying to satisfy nothing wrong with God-given desires, but we oughtn't allow them to rule over us. I can tell you one of mine, I've always liked a good vehicle. I was raised poor and got a good job and established my credit, and I could buy one and pay it out. Woo! Ain't that fun? Till about the fifth or sixth payment. But you know, you can go down there to the Ford place, and they've got one of them tangerine red four-wheel drive Texas edition, 8-inch lift, the big tires, you know. The diesel, I want the whole ball of wax, and it's bound to give me satisfaction and make me feel good about myself, right? We know better, don't we? It's just a thing from the devil that'll tell us what is and what isn't. Next, verse 5. The devil took him to the holy city, had him stand on the highest point of the temple. This was a really high place. Some have said it was over 400 feet high. And the devil said, go up on that pinnacle and walk out on there. And when you jump out, the angels of God will come and deliver you. Well, there's places in Scripture, it seems to say that. But I'm not sure it does. He said again, if you are the Son of God. And so it was another temptation. And again, Jesus answers him with Scripture. Dangerous thing. What a sobering thought. What a scary thought to think that Satan knows more about prayer than you and I may know about prayer. I don't like that. It shouldn't be that way. Sir, I know you from somewhere and you're bothering me. Don't you run off with this over. I want to talk to you. Never done that in a sermon in my life. I don't know. Do you know who he is, Mama? Am I crazy or what? Oh, mercy. I'm going to find out before it's over with. I'll guarantee you that. I've stood good here and tried to get around it and can't do it. So, again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to him, all these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Now, it shows that the devil has dominion over them, but he does not have complete rule over them. But he says to Jesus, because he knows that ultimately Jesus will have them in the next world, he said, you might as well get them now. Make it a shortcut. Cut across. Do it easier. Do it my way. And that's what the devil just about always does. Satan tempted Jesus to take the world as an earthly kingdom right then without carrying out his plan to save the world from sin. For Jesus, that meant obtaining his promised dominion over the world without experiencing the suffering and death of the cross. Satan offered a painless shortcut. Do it my way. It'll be painless and it's easier. We need to remember the devil's running in the world today. Your adversary, the devil, runs around seeking whom he may devour. That's good stuff. So he's saying, fall down and worship. Then Jesus said to him, and I want you to notice in every one of them, he looks at the devil and he quotes scripture and he says, away with you, Satan. The temptations and every temptation we face is between us and God. A choice between God, and you can't serve God and mammon. You can't serve mammon and God. You've got to make him first or he'll have nothing less. The devil offered the whole world to Jesus if Jesus would only know how and worship him. Sitting in my desk one day in Wyoming, had a beautiful young lady, 16, 17, very active in church, very sweet, had been to the super summer camps and had made the vow to chastity till the marriage. Walked in and sat down in a chair and just pounded on my desk and chewed on me and chewed on me and chewed on me. And I finally told her, it ain't my fault. But probably with a date rape of some kind, because she was pretty strong. You know what happened. But she would say every once in a while to me, I hate the devil. Oh, how I hate him. And there's nothing wrong with hating the devil because he's evil. She'd say, how I hate the devil. And the boys hated the devil because she didn't date nobody no more. She walked straighter than she ever had before. She made a decision in her life. We walked through her mistake with a little counseling, and she done good and got over it and forgave herself and went on. But have you ever been enticed? But Jesus said to the devil, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Then follow that advice with the support and prayers of Christian friends. I'm just about finished. One thing I want to say is know the Word. As Christians, we ought to know the Word of God. Not only in big thoughts, but in small bites and memorized. You know, I wish, I look back over my life and my preaching, and it's been pretty fruitful and pretty good, I think. But some days when I evaluate it, I get kind of uptight. I wish I had formed a group of people to hold each other responsible, and we would have met once a week and tried to memorize 2, 3, 4, 5 verses of memory a week, and then as you memorize them, more come along that are easier, and it gets easier. And you folks, young folks especially, any of you, it applies. Learn the Word and apply some scripture and memorize them. The devil knows the scripture, but he doesn't obey the scriptures. Then the Bible says the angels came and attended him. Something was said over here this morning about an older man needing help with a meal. I won't know who that was before we leave here today. But not bragging on myself, but we're pretty good at things like that. But they came and attended him. Attended him probably spiritually and physically. Most assuredly, physically and spiritually. They probably ministered to him with food, but also with prayer and the laying on of hands and doing what God would have them to do. Jesus was tempted by the devil, but he never sinned. Although we may feel dirty after being tempted, we should remember that temptation is not a sin. Let me give you 4 quick points. I think every sermon ought to have 4 zingers. Here's my 4 zingers for this sermon. Whether you like them or not, you're going to have to be listening to them. Amen? It's not a sin to be tempted. Billy Graham said once, you can't prevent a bird from flying over your head, but you don't have to let him build a nest there. And it's so true. It's not a sin to be tempted. You can't stop that voluptuous woman or that good-looking hunk walking in or that tangerine pickup from sitting there, but you don't have to go by it. You don't have to jump in with both feet and lose your house because you bought a pickup. Number two, no temptation is irresistible. What it's saying is any temptation that you have, God gives you a way of getting out if you really want out. Memorizing, number three, God's word is the best weapon to resist the devil. I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Psalm 119:11. Lastly, number four, and I like this one, and it's the most difficult for me because I'm probably the most impatient behind in the world. Velma didn't say amen. What? Waiting on God's provision is always, waiting on God's provision is always better than settling for the devil's substitutes. I'm done. Would you bow your heads with me? The deacons are going to come to the front and stand. Father, we thank you for the day and for your word and for the attentiveness of your saints. I pray for this church as they seek a pastor, a leader, a shepherd. I pray for those that will help them do that process. Now bless us, I pray. And for someone here that needs to accept you as Lord and Savior, give them the strength to come. Someone needs to come and walk straighter with the Lord. Help us to pray for them, lay hands on them, help them. Whatever the need might be, it isn't too great for you to take care of. So we ask you in the precious name of Jesus, be obedient. Be obedient to the Holy Spirit. I ask it again. Amen. Let's stand, let's sing. If you need to come, whatever your need might be, come right on.
Help me know you.